Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast with me, Callum Helliwell, a very random host in because Sam is away, and I'm joined by Brett Williams of Unibet, Tom Park of the Racing Post, and Robbie Wilders of the Racing Post as well. And Robbie, I must start with you first because you are riding high off your Terry Kent winning nap last week.
Yeah, cheers, Callum. Very kind of you to say. Yeah, grew up in Kent as well, so big fan of the operation, and nice way to start last weekend.
As someone who grew up in East Sussex, that means we are now arch rivals for the rest of the actual show. Nothing good ever came from Kent.
Not sure, mate.
But we must get through the actual racing that we've got to look forward to over the weekend on ITV. It's actually a pretty good card. It's a little bit of a mix because you've got flat racing, including Derby and Oaks trials from Lingfield. You've also got a little bit of jump racing from Haydock, and you've got some really wildly competitive flat racing from Ascot. So, boys, I take it we're all very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait. Great weekend. Lovely to have a little bit of a mix as well.
Exactly. Brett, is there any particular meeting you'll look forward to most, Lingfield, Ascot or Haydock, if you had to pick one?
Well, I think the Derby trial at Lingfield actually looks, you know, quite a decent, you know, standard renewal. I mean, if you take out sort of it as a Derby trial, it actually does look a pretty good race in its own right. So yeah, as you said, we've got something for everyone. The Swinton Hurdle, is it still on? Is it still a mixed card at Haydock, or have they just got it exclusively to jumps now? Is it still mixed, yeah?
I think it's still mixed, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good card as well. Looking forward to that race. Bit of jump in this time, on rock hard grind.
Yeah, wildly competitive as well. I was going through it this morning going, Jesus, some half decent horses rocking up for this. It's a decent prize, I think 80 grand to, in total prize money as well. So definitely worth keeping an eye on. That'll be the last race we'll actually cover. Let's start with Lingfield, and let's start with the 12:55 from Lingfield. It is the 1.25 mile William Hill Epic Boost handicap. It's a class 4 for 4-year-olds and older, and it's a 0-85. And Twisting Physics is your market leader of Unibet right now at 11-4. Noble Horizon 100-30. Salamanca City 5-1. Double Red 6-1. Sweet Reward 8-1, and it's 10-1 bar the rest. Let's start with Robbie. Who wins this?
Twisting Physics for me, Callum. Yeah, real big eye catcher I fought at Newbury last time. He's beaten 3 lengths into 6th, but doesn't tell the full story. Just looking at the times of that, he actually ran the final furlong faster than anything on the card, apart from Convergent, who won the John Porter and Water to Wine, who's this big Derby sort of King Edward hopeful for the Gosden. So I think that was a really eye-catching debut. He's back off the same mark. I thought he'd be a much more solid favourite than he is. I think there's still a bit of juice in his price. Yeah, I think there's a lot more to come from Twisting Physics.
Tom, are you in agreement or disagreement?
Yeah, I'm not in agreement. I wouldn't have as strong an opinion on the race as Robbie, but I thought Noble Horizon was definitely the one to beat, personally. It's a good form for William Haggis last year. I'm a big fan of York form, and he ran really well in a handicap on his last start, finished third there. I think that form probably puts him. I'm surprised he's not favourite, to be honest. So it wouldn't be a strong opinion as Robbie, but I'll side with Noble Horizon.
Yeah, it's coming back from a little bit of a break. And first run for Ollie as well. He's a trainer who I think is certainly, he very much feels like in the George Bowie mode, sort of starting off quite quickly with a few nice horses that cost a bit of cash. Brett, are you going to side with a particular runner in this race?
Well, it's not an easy race to get us off with, is it? It's very, very competitive. As you said, the market is real wide open. Salamanca City is the horse that I quite like, and they're trained by James Fancher. She's actually just been nibbled into 9-2 from 5-1. She was a winner at Yarmouth on her first run back. She's a few pound higher. The team are in good form. She handles the ground. And as you said, you can make a case for a lot of them in the field, but Salamanca City for me, in a race where we will be super boosting every single runner in the race. So you will get enhanced odds with Unibet in that 12:55 at Lingfield.
Yeah, and what a way to get those enhanced odds, because it is a wildly competitive affair. I did like the way Danny Muscat rode Salamanca City last time.
Actually,
as well.
Running a marathon, of course.
Absolutely. What can't he do? I think he rode a winner at Lingfield the day after running that marathon as well. I mean, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed if I even attempted to sniff a marathon, let alone run the damn thing. So well done to him. Let's move on, though, to the 1:28. This is the first of our two trials. This is over the extended mile and three. It's the William Hill Oaks Trial Fillies Stakes, obviously. It's a lifted contest as well. And obviously, it's for the three-year-olds only. Romantic Symphony for the boys in blue, who are having a really tough time of things at the moment. She heads the market at 6-4. Cameo and Blue are an Aidan O'Brien double hander here at 100-30 and 9-2 respectively. Prizeland, an impressive winner last time, also at 9-2, and Amora Queen will be looking to get back on the winning thread as well. Let's start with Brett here. We'll go backwards. Who do you like here?
First of all, we're going to be price boosting the favourite in this, which is, as you said, Romantic Symphony, who, funny enough, of all the runners in the field, she's the only one that isn't entered in the Oaks. And I'm not sort of sure how much this race is going to have an impact on that Fierce Classic. The shortest price of those in this race is Cameo, who's a 40-1 shot for the Oaks. I mean, obviously, if she wins and wins well, then that's likely to shorten. Bloom's a 66-1 chance. But I do quite like Prizeland. And obviously, she's got a little bit to find, but that she's proven over this trip. And I think, you know, in a race where you can probably just find a few chinks in the armour of the favourite there, Romantic Symphony. OK, yes, she won nice it last time out at Kenton. That form doesn't look particularly great. There's been one runner come out and at Wolverhampton since then and been beaten. So, you know, there are questions to answer about the form of that Kempton win. But, you know, she's so well bred, isn't she, Romantic Symphony? You know, she's a half-sister to Wild Illusion. You know, a three-time grade woman. So she's a good filly in her own right, but, you know, I think you could perhaps make a case for a few others at a slightly better price.
Tom, will you be taking on the favourite here as well?
Probably won't. I'm going to sit on the fence almost again. I promise I've got loads of opinions for the later races, but this is just a race that I couldn't advise really having a bet. I would put, if you put, it made me do it. Look, I thought Romantic Symphony looked pretty good at Kempton visually. As Brett says, the form's not really up to that much, but I'm a big believer in the visuals, and she hit the line quite hard. She's so well bred, as Brett pointed out. For those reasons, I wouldn't necessarily oppose her, but it's not a race that I'd be rushing to have a bet in either. It'll probably be one that I will side with the favourite for purposes on here, but I certainly won't be having a bet.
Yeah, it looks the definition of a trappy contest, I'd call it, isn't it? Robbie, would you be in agreement with Tom here? Tricky one to have a bet, but if you had to pick one, who would you be leaning towards?
No, I have had a bet, Carl. I've backed Prizeland.
There we go.
7-1 a few days ago. I think it's very interesting that they're jeopardising that handicap mark of 85, because I think she's very well treated. I think she's 100-plus filly in the making, for sure. She's won a slowly run Lingfield Novice by 8 lengths. She was held up until about 3 furlongs out, then took up the running. Her last 2 furlongs was sub 11 seconds, really fast finish. The runner-up's no mug either. She was third to Constitution Hill in a Novice the time before. I think this is a really good filly, and she's a sister to Huya Mao, who was second in the Derby for Andrew Balding. Just think, you sort of seeing that she's rated 85, and that might put people off, but I mean, the fillies above her haven't achieved much more to my eyes. So, yeah, I think she'll go really well.
Do you guys feel that it might be a situation of Aidan O'Brien just having two in the race that's kind of pushing Prizeland out to an interesting price? Because in the reality, have those two actually shown so much, Brett?
Yeah, I'd say so. That's, I mean, especially as well at the moment, because Aidan O'Brien sort of got all of his Derby and Oaks contenders in all, you know, different categories to find out, you know, to sort of let the cream rise to the top, I suppose, to speak. So yeah, it certainly would mean you would get slightly better odds with that Prizeland, and I agree with Tom. I think you've got a good squeak. Oh, sorry, Robbie. Robbie's got it, isn't he?
Well said.
Give Tom that credit.
Deserve a prize.
So don't get muddled up with me and Parky again now. It's a bit salty.
Let's move on though to the Derby trial here. This is the feature race on at Lingfield here. Always a good day out to go to Derby trial day at Lingfield. They get a good crowd. This again over the same trip, the extended mile and three. Maho Boy, I can't call him Macho, but I always do that. Maho Bay is your 6-4 favourite. Maltese Cross coming off a win, 3-1 second fad. Isaac Newton blotted his copybook last time. He's 100-30. Bay of Brilliance, 5-1. I think he's an interesting runner. Balzac, who ran in the Blue Ribbon Trial, he's 18-1. And A Taste of Glory, your outsider, at 22. Let's start with Tom. Are you sitting on the fence again?
I am not sitting on the fence this time. I'm going to side with Maltese Cross here. Won a race at Newbury last time that I think might just work out quite well over time. First glance, bit of a blanket finish. The time was actually good. You know, when you get five or six horses crossing the line at a similar time, you expect the time to be pretty slow. It's quite quick that day. I think it was a good race. The third, Julani, half brother to Alazi, so no surprise to see him hit the front and then duck the finish. But he runs at Chester on Friday tomorrow, so keep an eye on his run. I suspect he might run quite well. I think the form looks pretty hot, and yeah, Maltese Cross just got up to win. I think he's the one to beat here, so yeah, I'm going to side on Maltese Cross.
Robbie, will you be looking at Maltese Cross, or are you looking at other options?
No, I saw your voice perk up, Callum, when you talked about Bay of Brilliance. I agree with you there, my friend. Interesting horse. Rafe Beckett won the Phillies trial on this card 2 years ago for the same connections you got to me. I could see Bay of Brilliance bouncing out and being positive, doing something very similar. Basically, on his debut, 7 furlongs, found that too inadequate. He's a proper staying pedigree. He's then beat 3 next time out winners at Goodwood, and then won by miles under a penalty at Redcar in a fair time from the front 8.5 lengths. You often think new bays, like on fast ground, is that a bit of a query? But Rafe Becker was happy to run him on fast in his debut, and he's a half brother to Absurd, the Ebor fast ground winner. I could see him relishing this extra yardage. And yeah, really bright prospects. Got the Derby entry. For even now, he was 8-1 to start with. I still think sort of 5-1 is pretty fair.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of a nibble for him when the prices came out. I thought he looked every inch what a modern day Derby horse looks like when he won last time at Redcar, and probably the best staying performance that we ever saw from a 2-year-old last season. But Brett, would you be with us or against us here? No one's going for Maho Bay, which seems a bit of a surprise considering his strengths at the top of the betting.
Yeah, it's interesting actually, because Maho Bay is shorter in the betting for this race, but he's bigger in the betting in our anti-post market for the Derby. He's 25-1 at the minute for the Derby, whereas Maltese Cross is a 14-1 chance. I mean, as I said at the top of the show, I think this is just a good race to enjoy anyway. Often we see an Aidan O'Brien odds-on shot, and it's just what's that horse going to do, and will he enhance his Derby credentials? But this does look a pretty strong race in its own right. I'm sure it will throw up plenty of winners. We are price boosting the favourite there, so again, you're going to get enhanced odds in that. And I agree with some. I think Maltese Cross, form of that newbie race, does look to be quite strong. I think something's come out and finished second in a listed at Newmarket last week, so that's pretty strong form. Arguably the strongest form in this race at this stage of the season. So Maltese Cross for me, and give William Haggis when last from the Derby. Watched Shamit back in, when was it, 95, something like that. Come on, you should know. I think it was 95. I'm going to say 95 anyway. Michael Hills.
Yeah, I was about to say, Michael would have my gut for garters there as well if I saw him and couldn't give him that date, as well if I bumped into him at Lingfield or something like that. So, yeah, we'll have to check that one out. Yeah, I quite like Bay of Brilliance here. I think still a little bit overpriced in this one. But let's move on to what I think is probably the most fascinating betting contest of the day. It's a 240. It's the Chartwell Filly Stakes. It's a Group 3, and it's a blooming good race this year. Copacabana Sands comes over from Ireland, makes debut for Andrew Balding with Ryan Moore in the play. She's joint favourite at the moment with Royal Velvet, from what I can see with the Unibet prices at 2-1. Dash of Azure likes to come from off the speed. That's 100-30. Havana Pusey for John Gallagher. It'd be great to see him have a Group 3 winner. She comes in here at 10-1. It's 12-1 for Labradors, and then 18-1 bar the rest. Really interesting race. Personally, I did like Royal Velvet here. I think she showed a very, very nice turn of foot last time out, and great to see William Buick staying in the saddle. Brett, are you with me or are you against me?
Probably against her. I'm more so against the favourite, Copacabana Sands. As you said, she's having her first run for Andrew Balding. Same owner, of course, who also moved that Night Sparkle over to the same yard last year, and she did well for the Balding team. My only concern for her is the fact that she has probably got slightly better form on softer ground. She hasn't ran since October, so you'd expect her to come on for the run. Although on the positive side, she has, of course, got the services of Ryan Moore, which, I say on the positive side, had four eyes for Angie Boarding last year, and he got beaten on every single one. So they haven't got the best of strike rates together, Ryan Moore and Angie Boarding. But anyway, the winner for me, Dash of Azure. Handles all sort of ground. Good running in Sandringham last year. Won first time out last season as well, which I think counts for plenty. Still unexposed. Both wins at 7 furlongs. So for me, easy peasy. Dash of Azure in a race where we'll be top price every single runner in that race from 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Tom, are you also with the wave towards the head of the market, or is something else catching your eye and a little bit of a bigger price?
I agree with Brett. I like Dash of Azure too. I'd have a few concerns about the ground conditions certainly for the favourite, but for a lot of the field, Dash of Azure has proved herself on all sorts of different ground, and yeah, she's got some good form in the book. That second at Ascot in October, it's a really, really good run. I think she's right up to this level, and yeah, I could see her being a big improver this season. So yeah, Dash of Azure for me and the Rafe Beckett team.
Two for Dash of Azure. Robbie, are you going to make it three?
No, Royal Velvet wins this for me, Callum. Yeah, this race looks a lot different at the start of the week now Zamfos isn't running. I think the task is made much easier. You could argue that all her form is essentially a new market on the straight track, but she can handle a bend. She won at York an 18 run of Phillies handicap in a really good time on her last start away from Newmarket. Just thought her return was really impressive. The time was excellent. Should come forward for that. William Buick got a really good record riding for William Knight. I think this is quite a... It's probably a weak enough, because she's only rated 99, it's probably a weak enough sort of group three. But she's hard fit. I just wonder if the two also near the top of the market might need it first time out. I think she ticks an awful lot of boxes for me. Royal Velvet.
Royal Velvet to go back to back wins under William Buick, who he was on board last time. The final one we're going to look at from Lingfield is the 3:15. It's the extended 7 furlong William Hill each way extra handicap. It's a class 3, which makes it a 0-95, and it is for 4-year-olds and older. And Back in Black, who for Danny Muscat, who we were talking about earlier, the man who can do it all, he is on the favourite 7-4. Apothesis is 9-2 second favourite. The Dragon King 13-2 third favourite. Christian David is 7-1, and it's 15-2 bar the field. Horses like Dragon Leader, some good old names in here. Sword is also in this field as well. Some horses we know plenty about. Robbie, I'll start with you. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I think the market has it spot on, really, Callum. Back in Black, he usually runs in much better races than this, and he usually runs bloody well as well. His last seven, his last six RPRs, 97, 94, 98, 99, 98, 101, on a variety of different ground conditions. I thought his Spring Cup run was, well, that was a career best, in fact. I thought he sort of shaped like it wouldn't hurt him going back slightly in trip. He's down half a furlong at a tighter track. I think there's absolutely a lot to like, and he's off the same mark. Should be fit with that behind him. Going to be tough to beat, in my view.
Tom, are you with the same opinion that the market's got this one right, or are you looking at something else?
Yeah, I totally agree, Robbie. I'm surprised to see. It's difficult when you've got a handicap like this. It's hard to go too short. But I'm just really surprised the handicapper hasn't moved his mark after that run in the Spring Cup. Gets to go again off 94. Like, throughout his career, he's always seems to run well, and usually that means them creeping up the handicap. But yeah, he's been on a mark in the 90s for quite a few starts now, and I always thought that he's a horse that can move on to better things. Maybe this will be the season that he does it. I thought it was a really good run in the Spring Cup at Newbury last time. So yeah, I think this race, it should be a lot easier task for him. I expect him to be winning races off 94, so yeah, definitely going to say Back in Black as well.
Well, Brett, we've had two go for the fav here. Are we going to make it three?
No, to be honest, I've not got a particularly strong opinion in this, but I can tell you that Dragon King has been quite well back for Clive Cox. This one here off a mark of 83, stepping back down to 7, having run over a mile last time at Lingfield. I think 7 furlongs probably is this horse's trip. He wasn't beaten far in all fairness behind Angel Hunter last time, finished 5th, he's only beaten a length and a half. So yeah, the Dragon King for me, and as I said, has been quite well backed in that race at Lingfield.
Yeah, what could be a really interesting day of punting at Lingfield. We will focus on Ascot and Haydock after this very short break.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, where we now focus on the action from Ascot and Haydock. And I tell you what, if you like a bet, you're going to have a great time at Ascot and Haydock, because I don't think there's a single race that you can call uncompetitive. Let's start with the 145. It's the Filly's Handicap. It's over the straight mile, and it is a Class 2 contest, 0-100. And Zagatha tops the market at 11-4. Also, I don't really think has reached the potential that they thought. Alabea is second in 11-2. Politely, 13-2. Radiant Beauty, 7-1. Didea Diva is another 7-1 shot, and an 8-1 bar the field, which includes the likes of Song and Dance. I must admit, guys, I'm the biggest Politely fan on the planet. I think she's gorgeous, and I really hope she does well. So I will be following my heart, but my head says something else will probably beat her here. Brett, who do you like?
I like Didea Diva. I mean, she could be an improving sort. She's having a first run in a handicap for Alan King. Alan was among the winners at Newmarket last week. I'm not going to Daiquiri Bay. No, I just think she could be interesting, really. The top two haven't had a run yet this season. So she has had a run. That was at Nottingham, finishing third. So I'm not saying that William Haggis and the other trainer can't get their horses fit first time. But sometimes when they've just had a run, it just put them in good stead at this stage of the season. And as I said, the team are in good form. Sean Lee, a positive jockey booking. We are super boosting the field in this race. So again, in hats off with Unibet if you haven't a bet in that 145. But Didea Diva for me, in what looks, as you said, a real interesting fitness race.
Yeah, if you look back at what Didea Diva did on her second career start, I think that was the win at Sandown in a maiden. She travelled like an absolute good thing on that day. And I don't think Luke Catton will be getting many flowers from Alan King after the ride he gave her last time, where he went far, far too soon. So it would be no surprise to see her bounce right back, especially with Sean Levy in the saddle. Tom, who do you like here?
Yeah, Brett Knowles, Didea Diva. Really good third to the now 111 rated Xanthos on fast ground at Newmarket last season. That was a debut. She then won a hot maiden at Sandown, like you just said, where she travelled so sweetly. She beat Esner that day, who actually finished a close fourth in the Marcel Boussac. Made a reappearance at Nottingham last time. I think that's going to work out to be a really hot race. And in fact, you could, if you wanted to, which I might, you know, all of the top three in that race are running this weekend. So you've got Bagatos runs in the 4:20 later in the card at Ascot, with Tears in My Eyes runs in the 7:30 at Wolverhampton tomorrow. I'm going to stick them in a Trixie because I think the form is going to work out quite well from that Nottingham race. And you've got the benefit of watching with Tears in My Eyes in the 7:30 tomorrow to see how she gets on. If she wins, I could see Didea Diva being a lot shorter than the 7-1 that she is currently. I think she's a great bet here. Didea Diva for me.
And Robbie, we've had two for Didea Diva. Are you going to make it three?
No, although I do really respect her. I just thought Radiant Beauty was worth mentioning as well. Basically improved an awful lot since joining James Owen. Recently sixth in a listed race on her return at Kempton. Interesting handicapper, didn't raise her for that. She was finishing on the heels of fillies rated a lot higher than her, the likes of Servi, Cathedral, Betty Clover. You know, smart fillies. Back in a handicap off 87. Admittedly, most of her form is on the all-weather, but I always think Ascot form on the all-weather translates really well to Ascot. That's been like a famous angle over the years. James Doyle up, he has a good record for running for James Owen, 3 from 9. That's quite an eye-catching booking for me. So I think you're onto a good thing if either you put one of those Radiant Beauty or Didea Diva in a sort of each-way bet.
Yeah, I thought Radiant Beauty ran in a lifted race, which was stronger than most group races you'll see. I mean, the field that she was beaten behind certainly suggests that she was running in really good company there. So I think was it the Snowdrop at Kempton? I think that's the race, wasn't it?
That she
found herself in, and she was far from disgraced there. Let's move on to the big race of the day, though, the Victoria Cup 220. Enough runners to shake a stick at, so you're going to have plenty of time finding a good one here. Mudbeer is your market leader for John and Sadie Gosden. Oshie Murphy in the saddle. Defence Minister, impressive winner last time on seasonal reappearance. Another impressive winner is Shiplake. That was 15-2. Hickory, last year's winner, is 11-1. Tribal Chief, who caught the eye at Doncaster in the Lincoln last time, also 11-1. 12-1, Great Acclaim. 12-1, Shaftar. And it's 14-1, bar the rest. So many horses in here that you could give a great suggestion of backing, but who's catching your eye, Robbie?
Tribal Chief for me, Callum. Like you say, I mean, he was a massive eye catcher in the Lincoln. It really paid to be up in the pace with that, and he was from stall 21, the first four drawn 2, 5, 3, and 4. Like, I think he had quite a bit against him that day, had to be switched for his run. Again, he's off the same mark. I think that's generous enough, really. He's not been beaten far in the Lincoln, one of the hottest handicaps of the season. It remains to be seen how the draw is going to work out, where the stand side is the place to be. But I just can't really see why he's double figures. I mean, the race is competitive, but yeah, he's consistent. He's got a good profile. He's run well at Ascot in the past. So I think there's plenty to like.
Yeah, totally in agreement there. I think should have a good chance. Tom, plenty to have a go at here. Who caught your eye?
Yeah, I think I've found one here. You know, the first trainer that I look at when it comes to these handicaps on the Ascot straight course is Ed Walker. He's got a phenomenal record in these straight races. I actually ran some figures, and from 177 runners on all three of the straight courses at Ascot, he's had 25 winners, 19 seconds and 13 thirds to a P&L of plus 2.66. Those are really good figures considering how many runners he's actually had, and he'll often have multiple runners in the race. He saddles one here that's really interesting, so darn hot. Switched to this yard in November, having won his final start for Kevin Phillip Park Defoy at Windsor. He's had four starts on the all-weather since, three initially, and then a three-month break where he ran at Newcastle last time. On the bare form, it doesn't look like he's been running to anything good, but his run at Newcastle last time, he had a terrible draw. He actually did remarkably well to finish where he did. He went off 40-1 that day, so the yard clearly didn't fancy him. I took a bit of 50-1 earlier in the week. I believe, having just quickly looked at the odds after Dex, he's come in an awful lot. I think you could get as big as 20s, but he was a good bit shorter at a lot of places. I think he's got a right chance. Like, he should come on plenty for that Newcastle run, because that was his first run after 3 months. As I said, Ed Walker targets these big races. He's got Popmaster in the race as well, which I wouldn't be without an each-way chance either. But I just think So Darn Hot's got a really interesting profile here. Kieran Schumacher was jocked up earlier on in the week. I think this has been a massive plan. His mark's dropped £5 since coming from Ed Walker, just £2 higher than when he was winning at Windsor. He won so easily as well. Yeah, I think that was on quick ground as well at Windsor. So everything's pointing to a big run here. Drawn 17, hopefully has options from there. Yeah, very keen on So Darn Hot. Shame the price has collapsed a little bit, because I was thinking I was going to be coming in hot on a one at 33-1, but that doesn't matter. I think he'll win So Darn Hot for me.
Tom, just out there moving market for yourself there, and it certainly has been very, very well backed from the initial quite large price, but well found for sure, and it'll be even better found if that thing can get the head in front. Brett, have you got another one floating under the radar, or one more towards the top of the betting?
Well, I'd certainly never ever go for a certainty in a 50-runner handicap, so fair play to Tom for putting his neck on the line and going with that one. We're paying six places each way in it, so obviously you're going to get some decent prices each way. There has been a smash-up in this horse. It's been really, really, really strong. I opened at 20-1 earlier on in the week, now into 13-2. That's Shiplake, real strong support that one, could go off even shorter. So that's your money horse in the race, and Shipley. Mudbeer is your favourite, and an interesting contender, obviously, from the yard of John Thady Gosden. I suppose he's one of those horses that sort of could be a potential group horse in a handicap. You know, and he could be anything, but he's short enough, isn't he, in a race like this. I agree with Robbie with Tribal Chief. He's got some solid form. He ran very well in the Lincoln last time. He's off 93 again, but I'm just worried, even though you said he is kept off the same mark, I just feel the handicap has got him just where he wants him, and he's so consistent, he's probably not going to do much manoeuvring with him. So I think he's probably handicapped to his best. Another one at a bigger price, around 16 to 1, we have seen support for, I actually do like as well. I've actually ridden him, Shafdar, a horse in the race for Ian Williams, who's having a great time of things at the minute. He had a winner at Chester yesterday and Kempton as well. So the team are in good form. Won at Epsom last time, £5 higher. Dropping back down in trip to 7 furlongs, haven't run over a mile last time. I think that will suit him. You know, they're going to go quick, aren't they, in this sort of race? You know, I'm not saying he's going to be good enough to win, but you know, he could be a pretty smart horse. This Shafdar is a lovely, lovely looking son of make believe, and I think at around 16 to 1 in a race where we are paying 6 places each way, I think Shafdar could be the one to have a little go on.
Yeah, I like all those selections. Just a word of warning to the Shiplake supporters. A horse hasn't won from a single figure draw in this race in quite a while. It's been double figures to the four. Obviously, the stats are slightly skew-ish, but I'd just be a little bit concerned with Shiplake, up a whopping £10 after the last win where he absolutely cantered all over the field. And drawn very low, and thank you said for Defence Minister, who comes out of one as well, but they are second and third in the market at the moment. No love for Hickory, guys, last year's winner, who absolutely loved it at Ascot.
Yeah, horses for courses track, wouldn't be a surprise if he won.
Yeah, he could be intriguing. Let's go on to the following race at 2.55. We've got another handicap, this one class 3 for the 4-year-olds and older, over the mile and a half, and the likely race Valedictory heads the market 7-4 for John and Sadie Gosden, with Billy Lockdane in the saddle. Opportunity for Wasnan, William Haggis and James Doyle is second in at 6-1. Bulletin 17-2, Serenity Blue at 10-1, Our South Storm 11-1. Classical Illusion, the same price, 11-1, and it's 12-1 bar the rest. They seem to be getting really stuck into Valedictory, who was almost an unlucky second last time, Tom.
Yeah, I don't really get the price difference between Valedictory and Bulletin, who was the third in that race, who also finished the race off strongly. They almost finished the race together. Now, Bulletin got first run on him and was beaten, so obviously, the market is suggesting that he's going to do well to overturn that form. I'm not so sure. The step up in 2 furlongs here, I think, will really suit Bulletin. He just got caught for a little bit of tow at the wrong time, and that's what gave Valedictory the momentum. There wasn't much between them in them final strides, and they were closing on the winner all the time. Look, Gosden horse could well improve substantially for that run. But one's 2-1, the other one's double figure price, and I just think that is too big, especially when you consider there's a £1 swing in the weights in Bulletin's favour. So yeah, I think it might be the right form line to look at, but I'm going to side with Bulletin to maybe just surprise and overturn that form.
Like that, Tom, certainly makes plenty of sense. I think that you've also got to remember the price difference. I know it sounds very sad, but it's the colours and trainer bias, isn't it, that sometimes comes into this, where you see the Godolphin Blue, you see John and Safety Gosden, and you maybe squeeze them in a little bit tighter. It's not the same when you've got a Johnny Portman trained horse in colours that aren't quite as sexy. Brett, in this race, plenty of chances at horses with double figure price. I wasn't getting fully stuck into the favourite.
Yeah, it's an interesting race, isn't it? We're paying 4 places each way. I mean, with Valedictory, I just think that I can make a good case for him, primarily because he's a horse that I think he's going to relish a step up to a mile and a half. And he's never ran over this trip before. All of his races have been really staying on nicely, suggesting he will be suited by this trip, which I think just may suggest that's the difference between that horse and Bulletin, because Bulletin, of course, has already ran over this distance before. So Valedictory, I suppose, just thinking, you know, could he improve for the step up in trip? You know, he's an interesting contender, and you know, you can definitely make a case for him, although you don't have to see horses get put up in the weights for finishing second. and that did happen to him at Newbury last time. The one who's a slightly bigger prize, Classical Illusion, and second to Constitution Hill, of course, and another in that race at Kempton, wasn't it? Didn't quite stay 2 miles last time, so they're dropping that one back down in trip. Again, the biggest sort of prize, but I just think Classical Illusion in a race where you can make a case for quite a few of them. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see that horse run well at a decent sort of price.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that one for sure. Robbie, wrap us up from Ascot here. Who's your pick?
I'm going to go for Opportunity, Callum, for William Haggis. Just really catches my eye that form. He beat Rahib, the St. Ledger runner-up, who's running today in the Ormond Stakes, a Haydock and a novice. And then he's gone off 4-1 for the Cocked Hat Stakes to beat Amalok. He was basically badly hampered that day, completely wiped out. He had no chance. I think he probably would have finished second, to be fair, without that. And then he's gone for the King Edwards. To me, it looks too bad to be true. That run beating 51 lengths, missed the rest of the season. He's coming back off a gelding operation. He's got a proper pedigree. He's had four siblings run to an RPR of 107 or higher. Looks like there could be a lot more to come. It's interesting that Wafnana keeping the faith. He's only had four runs for William Haggis. So, yeah, he's one that could be well treated off 91.
Yeah, it didn't quite end up in those autumn horses in training sales, and they're keeping the faith with Opportunity and thinking that there might be a big prize in him, and obviously still only a four-year-old as well. And finally, the one that everybody came for, the biggest race of the day. It's a Swinton hurdle, everybody. Get stuck in. We've got Cheltenham Festival form coming to the fore in May. Let's start with Tell Her the Name, your 11-4 market leader. Gibbs Island, 6-1 second in. Indemnity, 13-2. Dancing Glance, the last time out winner, 7-1. Major Blush, 10-1. Helmvine, 12-1. What happened to him? And it's 14-1, bar the rest. Plenty of horses in here that I'm intrigued by, but I must admit, I was looking towards the head of the market. Tell Her the Name, unlucky last time. Can this horse go a few places better on this occasion? Robbie?
I think so, Callum, yeah. I mean, I was gutted when he came out of the Scottish Champion Hurdle. I was on him anti-post. The ground obviously just turned heavy, absolutely decimated the fields that day. But yeah, just shaped so well, I thought, on the County Hurdle on this day with David Fidanskelt, and that wasn't his day at all. Just looked like a run that was putting him spot on for a big target. That was the Scottish Champion Hurdle, of course, but the Swinton, probably not as tough as that race would have been. I think the market's got it spot on. He's always been a horse with a massive reputation. Still pretty light race for a 7-year-old, 133. I think he's better than his mark, and I don't know if this is the strongest Swinton in the world. So yeah, I'm struggling to go against Tell Her the Name.
Juan, are you going with the favourite, or are you looking in a different direction?
I'm going to take the favourite on. I get everything that Robbie said. He's absolutely correct. You're right as well, and he's kind of had a reputation of being this good horse over the years. Has he quite shown the form on the track? Perhaps not. The Skeletons obviously haven't had him for that many starts, so maybe this is the day that they'll get him right. I'm going to take him on. I think he's short enough at around 3-1. The one I like is Dancing Glance. Won really nicely here, and just Haydock can be horses who like Haydock tend to love it. Good on the ground conditions as well. Which you'd expect a lot of them to be running here, given the time of year that it is. I thought he won really impressively. So a £6 rise, I don't think is a massive issue. He's been improving all season. I'm going to side with Dancing Glance.
Yeah, for Anthony Honeyball, who certainly knows how to win races like this, and Sam Twiston Davis on board, not a bad jockey booking either. Brett, I know you're itching to get to the flat racing today at Chester, but let's focus on some jumping here. The Swinton Hurdle, who's your pick?
I mean, they've really thrown me. I mean, it takes me sort of about a month or two to get into flat mode, which now I'm in, having been to the Guineas last weekend. And then they just put this Swinton Hurdle in, and I've got to start thinking about jump racing. Very confusing. Money back is cash if you back the second or the third in this race. And we're also paying five places each way for you. I agree with everything that, that Rob has said with regards to Tell Her the Name. I don't think it looks as strong as the Swinton's. If you look at his form, you know, it's arguably the strongest in the race. We all saw what happened at Cheltenham with him. He's got the hood on for the first time today, or tomorrow, on Saturday, because he is quite a keen individual. I just think there's plenty to like about Teller, the name. You know, just had that one start for Dan Scouten. And I suppose you've got to look at it and say, well, there's no excuse. If he gets beaten in this, then he's probably not quite as good as they think.
Yeah, exactly. It feels to me personally that if this is Teller the name's race, if he's good enough, he should be winning this. But if he doesn't win this, I think we all have to just take our foot off the hype train just a little bit. But we must move on, because what's coming up next is Naps and Best Bets for all the racing from ITV.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay then, gents. Naps time here for the races on ITV on Saturday. I'll start and get the first loser out the way. I'm a big fan of Royal Velvet in the Chartwell Fillies. Stakes the Group 3 at Lingfield at 2:40. She's got the run under her belt. They've kept the jockey. And I thought she was really impressive last time, and I'm hoping that she can do the business once again, although this is a bit of a tougher ask. Brett, who do you like and what will be your nap for Saturday's action?
Yeah, I'm really keen on D-Day Diva in the 145 at Ascot. It's a race with super boost in all of the field. She's an improving sort. She has her first run in a handicap. She's trained by Alan King, who's been among the winners, had Dakari Bay score for him at Newmarket, and of course, Edward Stone in the Celebration Chase. So the yard are in really good form. I think there could be a little bit more to come from her off a market at 88. So D-Day Diva for me in the 145 at Ascot.
Tom, who is your nap?
In the big race of the day, the 220 Ascot Victoria Cup, I like So Darn Hot for Ed Walker. Ed Walker's got a phenomenal record in these kind of straight handicaps at Ascot. He's had 4 starts since arriving at the yard on the all weather. The last one, I thought he ran really well from a poor draw. I think this has been the big plan for a while. He's dropped down in the handicap. I think this will be the day that we'll see the best of So Darn Hot. Kieran Schumacher was chopped up early. I think he's in for a big, big run. So Darn Hot in the 220 at Ascot.
So Darn Hot, who was 50-1 when the markets first opened and is getting absolutely smashed in. Must be all your money, Tom. And Robbie, finally, the last pick of the group. Who is your nap for Saturday?
Yeah, we'll go to the 120 at Lingfield, the Oaks Trial, Prize Land, Andrew Balding, sister to Balding's Derby, second Hu Yamal. Really impressive last time, I thought, and a novice. I think she's well worth a place in this lineup, despite her low rating, and yeah, could take quite a bit of beating.
She certainly could, and what could be a really fun weekend of action from Lingfield, Ascot and Haydock, all live on ITV. And get on to Unibet and get involved. Plenty of offers to get stuck into, and hopefully the Nats will run as well as they can and we can go 4 from 4.